Great. Well, good evening, everyone. So it's Maundy Thursday, and we'll look into why it's called Maundy Thursday in a little while. But just to start off, I really want to say that it is truly a privilege and a blessing to me to share just this time with you, just to share life in general with you. And so looking at this passage tonight, John 13, verse 31 to 38, is also a great privilege. So let's start off with, I like starting off talks with a quiz. So let's start off with a quiz. I wonder if you know whose famous last words the following is. No shouting, I'll just raise your hand. Who said, "I have not told half of what I saw"? Whose famous last words were that? Anyone? You weren't there, I can promise you. It was Marco Polo who said that. So if you can imagine what he's seen, everything that he has seen, and he's not told half of it, then must have been a remarkable life. Let's see the next one. "Hold the cross high so I may see it through the flames." Anyone? I'll give you a clue. It was a lady. Joan of Arc. That's right, Joan of Arc. The next one. "I have offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have." Anyone? It wasn't me. It's not my last words yet. It was Leonardo da Vinci. So thinking all the stuff that he created, all the stuff that he painted and did and made and invented, and he felt he didn't do as well as he could have. I feel better about myself now. The next one. "Go on, get out. Last words are for fools who haven't said enough yet." Anyone? Karl Marx said that. Karl Marx. And then, no relation to you, Roger, is it? No? Yeah, okay. Sounds like something you would say. just kidding. And the last one, "Don't disturb my circles." Anyone? Archimedes. It was Archimedes, the Greek mathematician, who said that to a Roman soldier who interrupted his geometric experiments during the capture of Syracuse, whereupon the soldier became so upset that he killed him. Math kills people. It's dangerous stuff. Or is it passion that kills? Anyway, it seems that we, knowing that someone is about to die, add some sort of significance to their final words, most of the time at least. In tonight's reading, we will see Jesus speaking to his disciples shortly before his capture and crucifixion, almost like something as final words. It's the last time they're all together. It's the last time Jesus has his disciples' full attention. It's the last meal Jesus has with his friends before he dies. And Jesus knew this. And so he even told the disciples this on various occasions. So surely there must be some significance to his words in this passage. So let's look at his words in John 13, verse 31 to 38. "When he was gone, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.' Simon Peter asked him, 'Lord, where are you going?' And Jesus replied, 'Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later.' Peter asked, 'Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you.' Then Jesus answered, 'Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times.'" This is the word of the Lord. So let us pray before we look at this passage. Father God, I pray that you will speak to each one of us now, that we just sung that you are here with us, ministering to each one of us. And so, Lord, I pray that this won't just be words sung for no reason, but that we will experience you now and hear from you now. May my words bring glory to your name today, Lord Jesus. Amen. And so I did not know about Maundy Thursday, if I'm honest, if I can be deeply honest with you now, until I moved to the United Kingdom 7 years ago almost. So I looked it up. The term Maundy Thursday is derived from the Latin word mandatum, in commemoration of Christ giving his disciples a new commandment, as we've just read. So what is new about the commandment that Jesus gives his disciples at the Last Supper, and by implication to us today, if we say we are his followers? Well, first off, the commandment to love is not a new one. We can see in Leviticus 19, verse 18, that even in the Old Testament, God says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So it has always been God's command to love. What is different or new to what Jesus says here is that neighbor is changed to one another, and as yourself is changed to as I have loved you. Now, Christ's new commandment to his disciples is to love one another as he loved them, and to us as well. And it is a new commandment because until that point in time, people had a fairly limited view of God's perfect love. God said everyone in the Old Testament should love one another or love their neighbor as themselves. But what does that really mean? In this point in time, Jesus comes to earth and becomes the perfect example of godly and heavenly love. In Jesus, the disciples and us have the perfect example of what that love looks like. But what kind of love is this then? Firstly, Christ's love is a love that sacrifices. Jesus is on his way to the cross at this point in time in the story. It is at the cross that he takes up all of our sin onto himself, even though he was innocent and never sinned. He made the ultimate sacrifice. He paid the ultimate price in our stead because of his great love for us. So when Jesus tells us to love as he loved us, that means we too should have sacrificial love towards one another. Love seems like a beautiful thing and a great idea until it starts costing us things. Things we hold dear, things we have to give up, things like time, things like energy, things like money, things like effort. To love means to give things we value away to others for their good, not for our own, for their good. Victor Hugo said this: "You can give without loving, but you can never love without giving." Love will inevitably cost us something at some point, as it did for Jesus. It cost him his love, his life. Now, secondly, Christ's love is a love that serves. In the passage just before our reading tonight, Jesus washes the feet of the disciples, and then he tells them to do the same, to wash the feet of one another, to serve one another, as Jesus did for them. Love like Christ's looks like service to others. There's a story about three Boy Scouts who were at a scouts meeting and told the scoutmaster that they had done their good deed for the day. "Well, boys, what did you do?" asked the scoutmaster. "We helped an old lady across the street a little while ago," claimed the boys in unison. "And did it take all three of you to do that?" asked the master suspiciously. "Oh, yes, it did," chimed the boys. Then the smallest one added, "She didn't want to go." The best way to express love to one another is to serve one another, being aware of each other's needs, serving where it is needed, as Jesus did. Our greatest need was not for a moral teacher or a military leader or a distant ruler. The world needed a sacrificial savior, so Jesus chose to serve us in that way. And so our love should be reflected in the way that we serve one another as well. And now thirdly, Christ's love is a love that shines in the darkness. I don't know if you've noticed, but I try to make everything start with an S. So this is what I came up with for the last one. Christ's love shines in the darkness. It's a shining love. Jesus didn't only love when it was convenient or easy. He loved, forgave, and welcomed and prayed for seekers while enduring the agony of death on a cross. Jesus tells us to love one another in the same way. Like Christ, we can't let our circumstances or feelings determine how much or how little we are prepared to love. Going through difficult times ourselves does not release us from Christ's command to love one another, nor does happiness and prosperity qualify us to love as Christ loved us. Love that shines in the midst of the deepest darkness is one of the greatest signs of the everlasting hope we can only find in Christ Jesus, the kind of love that darkness cannot overcome. Now, it seems that Christ's new command to love one another as he has loved us is a tall order. It's a big ask. I actually think it's an impossible command. But what is impossible for man is possible with God. It is impossible for us to love like Christ unless we are in a place to receive Christ's love first. We can't love like Christ in our own power. We can't try really hard and love like Christ loved us. To love like Christ means to first know Christ's love for ourselves. And then to share that it doesn't stop with us. And we can receive his love and be reminded that we are loved right here and right now. D.L. Moody summed it up really nicely when he said, "Before my conversion, I worked toward the cross, but since then, I've worked from the cross. Then I worked to be saved. Now I work because I am saved." Now the question still remains, what does Christ's love look like today? Love has been described in so many ways and often in very unhelpful ways. But we have the perfect example of love that sacrifices, love that serves, and love that shines in the deepest darkness when we look at Christ. I finish with how Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians 13. See if you can recognize Jesus and the very character of God in this description of love. "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now go and do likewise. Amen.